Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting but not video streaming today from our studios in New York City, and I'd like to welcome you. We have a lot of important information to share, beginning with the latest on health and healing from the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine, ginkgo biloba, the very important and one of the oldest herbs in the world, can aid in the treatment of type 2 diabetes, that and about 12 other studies, all from peer-reviewed literature. Then, several commentaries today. We are continuing with our challenge to Wikipedia. Yesterday, I realized it's a little confusing because some of our sister stations, including WBAI, were listening to the Progressive Commentary, which I do every Tuesday evening. And in that, you were hearing some very important insights about the human condition and how it's impacting college kids, professors, and of course people graduating from college, taking the values they learned in college, better or worse, out into the larger community. So yesterday I did an in-depth original investigative report by Richard Gale and myself challenging Wikipedia. You can download that program, or you can download the article. And the article is much longer than what I shared on the program. I only shared half the information because it's a long article about Wikipedia is not, in our opinion, a legitimate encyclopedia. It is a fraudulent pretext to being able to, in effect, destroy the entire alternative health movement. We compared it to other legitimate quality encyclopedias, including Encyclopedia Britannica. And we even went to the things that Britannica has to say about complementary and alternative medicine, like, for example, traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture, and they were very fair, and they showed the benefits, and they had the science to back it up. It was scholarly. Then we went to Wikipedia, and it was all, oh, this is all nonsense. Not true. So we are in our 35th article in the last year. I told you we have 100 coming. That means we still have over 60 still coming at you. And today is another one. This is entitled Wikipedia, Where Narcissist and Sociopath Are Always Welcome. So I'm going to share that. Also today I'm going to share an original commentary by John Whitehead from Global Research, American Apocalypse, The Government's Plot to Destabilize the Nation is Working. And I have my own commentary on that as well. Then I'm going to play a clip. It's a short clip. It's only 2 minutes and 30 seconds by a well-respected liberal. He identifies himself as a liberal journalist. And his statements, I believe, deserve a forum. And then I'm going to ask you to call in and share your points of view. So once you hear this, it's only 2.5 minutes, please call us if you have an opinion at 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. Then, time permitting, we're also going to share some audio clips, including a part of an investigative story that was done by the BBC's program, Panorama, a very well-done piece on Wi-Fi and warning signals about how dangerous it is, and it's in the school system there and here and around the world. But unlike other news media that frequently self-edits the truth or self-limits the type of reporting they could do, we never go into a school where all the kids are on computers and put a meter right up in front of where the kid's face and head would be, about, let's say, 14 inches from a screen or closer, and then see that the electromagnetic frequencies were going off the chart. So the media has only taken the industry perspective, the telecommunications industry, Verizon, etc., and they are wrong. No different than when they promoted and supported DDT, etc. And time permitting, we're also going to show you someone who was adamant about taking on Google. And then something changed, Senator Mike Lee's transformation from Google critic, good for him, to Google hyper ally. Well, how in the world that happened? Well, someone went behind the scenes and saw what happened in the way of money. So we're going to bring you that transformation by money by Senator Mike Lee, or from, about Dr. or Senator Lee. So as you see, we're taking on all the issues that we feel are relevant, and we begin with the latest on health and healing. There's an extract of the leaves of the ginkgo biloba. It's a very popular herbal supplement taken around the world, and it has very strong benefits, especially if you have brain conditions, if you have poor circulation, if you've had a stroke, if you have any one of the half dozen major conditions like multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's, ALS, dementia, etc. But now, according to the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine, they have found that, quote, in diabetic rats, ginkgo biloba had a very good effect on the beta cells of Langerhans. By the way, the cells of the pancreas are responsible for insulin secretion. And according to the study, by creating a restorative effect similar to what we see in healthy non-diabetic rats, end quote. So that's important. So if you're a diabetic or pre-diabetic, you'll want to take ginkgo biloba, generally 1 to 200 milligrams a day, divided doses. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Diabetes, Metabolic Syndrome, and Obesity, Targets and Therapy. Next up, from Norwegian School of Sports Sciences, physical activity at any intensity is linked to a lower risk of early death. Oh, and by the way, for the people who sent me the emails claiming that there is a blood test you can take that can determine if you're going to die in the next 5 to 10 years, I have not heard of that test, but we're looking into it today. And hopefully we'll have information for you if it's accurate or not, and benefit on Monday's show. In any case, in the British Medical Journal, where this was published, a multinational team of researchers, including ones from the National Institutes of Health Research and Leicester Biochemical Laboratories, have produced clear evidence that higher levels of physical activity, regardless of intensity, are associated with a lower risk of early death, especially if you're middle-aged or over. And that's when most people die of all causes in any case. And they're looking at about 9.5 hours or more a week is associated with an increased risk of death. I should say, I didn't do that completely, that if you're sedentary for 9.5 hours a week, now just think of that. Most people in one day are sedentary for 9 hours. They're sitting at their desks. They're sitting in automobiles or trucks. They're sitting on trains and planes. They're sitting in front of computers. But they're saying if you sit, if you're sedentary, for 9.5 hours or more a week, excluding sleep time, associated with an increased risk of death. So, but if you do 150 minutes of moderate intensity or 75 minutes of vigorous physical activity each week, then you're going to lower your risk of death. I'm suggesting start at 300 minutes of intense exercise. They have gone real conservative. Almost everything is ultra conservative. From Rush University Medical Center comes a study that just one serving, and a serving is a cup, of green vegetables per day helps delay brain aging by over 10 years. What's this mean? It means that aging, the way we do in our society, causes a lot of unwanted health issues, most notably cognitive decline and memory loss. People in their 50s are told that nothing can be done about it and that there's going to be a decreased brain function and it's an inevitable part of aging. That is not true. New research from Rush University Medical Center in Chicago shows that a simple step can be taken to prevent and reverse age-related cognitive decline. one serving of green leafy vegetables a day can slow brain aging by a decade, meaning eating two servings produces even better results. So, okay, that's good. Why? Because they're saying the flavonoids found in leafy greens slow cognitive decline. I would say they're only half right. I have found that it's lutein, L-U-T-E-I-N, beta-carotene, the nitrates, which increase your circulation, alpha-tocopherol, which is vitamin E, vitamin K1, folate. Those are the kind of things you're going to get in your greens that are good for you and good for the brain, but they're also good for everything. And this is part of Rush Memory and Aging Project, which began in 1997. This is one of those studies that they don't change anything in your life. They just kind of look at what happens when you age. This is like the doctor study. Let's say you go for 30 years and you have 80,000 people. That's actually underestimating how many were in the Harvard physician study and the nurses study. Now, they don't tell you anything. They don't tell you what to eat, drink, what vitamins take. But what they do is after a certain period of time, they'll say, okay, we've gone 10 years. How many people who started with no heart disease or high blood pressure or cancer or arthritis, how many of them have that? And then they take a look more specifically. And then they say, ah, there was a 20% less likelihood to develop cancer if you did A, B, and C, based upon what people had done. That is really that's a dinosaur. We're so far ahead of that. Wow. In fact, late last night, I sent out some communication that I had at 2:22 this morning, because I was on my computer and getting ready for this mammoth project we're about to undertake. And one of the scientists, one of the leading anti-aging scientists in the world, was saying that you should have to add these additional biomarkers. And so we added them, and I said, I already have 67. And are you sure we need these? And he said, yes. And I said, where can people get them? So anyhow, we were communicating to try to put these into our schedule. But when you see what we're measuring, and you see what all the other studies out there are measuring, it's like a typewriter and a computer. There's a big difference. So we're going to be measuring DNA, and I won't go into what we're measuring. I'm not going to talk about the protocol. But it's in the final 3 or 4 days before it gets final sign-off, and not only do we have one, we have two different groups of scientists who are going to be monitoring it. And some ask, can we come down? I said, sure. You can come. You can come anytime you want during the 90 days of the study. So that's about to kick off. Also, they suggested, I haven't decided whether I want to do this or not, but they wanted to see, would this work for people 50 and over? Because right now you have to be 65 to get in the study, and we have all the participants. We don't need any more. We were flooded. Lou Ann Panessi got over 1,000 calls from around the world, in fact. And now there's a possibility that some people will drop out. That always happens, especially when you've got to be away for 60 days. The last 30 days you do at your home with daily conference calls, because we have to see, will people stick with the protocol when they get home? What good does it do to help a person change their life and help them reverse illness and slow aging? And they get home, they go, well, okay, that was then. Now I'm going to go back to my diet and lifestyle. So that's why it's a very comprehensive, holistic approach. But in any case, there's always going to be some dropouts. So we're going to take 5 additional people in case they're dropouts, so we finish with the desired amount. Now the question is, if I can prove by objective, hard science that is irrefutable, that it's not subjective. Did you get a good night's sleep? Yeah, subjective. Do you have more energy? Yeah, subjective. Are you feeling more awake and alive and cognitively aware? Yeah, subjective. Let's see what happened to your telomeres. Objective. So we're going for the hard objective data. And this study's never been done before. And if it succeeds, this will be important. But they also, two of them wanted to see, can we do 50 years? Because if we can show it in 65 at senior citizen age, what about people who are 50 or younger? What will it do for them so that if they're doing a protocol like this at 50, can we take their biological age back to 30? So it's a hypothesis. It's a question. It has not been proven. So I got to consider whether I want to do that or not and include those, because right now it's a whole lot of work. But I'll make those decisions over the weekend. In any case, back to this. If you think one serving of green vegetables could reduce the amount of consequences from aging by 10 years, right? And that's what they're really saying in this study. Imagine if someone were taking 50 servings a day. How could you get 50 servings? That would be impossible. No, not the way they're doing it, but the way I'm going to do it, yeah. And think of the people in this audience who've been using compounding formulas where they're getting 5, 10, 20 servings of greens per day into your body. Imagine how much healthier you are, and not just because of flavonoids. Wow, there are over 250 different phytonutrients in every vegetable, but all the other things that we're not even aware of. Anyhow, that's why you have to have your daily vegetables and not one serving. You'd have to be very uninformed, very lazy, and very self-destructive to assume that you can get by with one serving of vegetables a day. You need at least 12, minimally. Anyhow, Trinity College, which is in Dublin, lower levels of vitamins and antioxidants are linked with frailty in older adults. Because we always, and this is the Irish longitudinal study on aging at Trinity College. And again, I look at the protocols and I'm thinking, wow, I mean, why do it? You know, if you're going to do something that's never been done before. Take it to the max. Show you have the courage to break out of these traditional scientific models of ultra, hyper, conservative thinking. Look at the mess the environment's in because all the people we trusted and should not have trusted, including all the UN officials and the government officials, they either were not intellectually capable of understanding the process known as chaos theory. But I told you 10 years ago, we're in chaos theory back then. Now Greenland is melting 70 years ahead of schedule. Why didn't they catch that? They've caught nothing. They haven't been on the right side of a single issue because they're terrified that if they say anything that may alarm people, don't alarm anyone. And a whole generation of young kids, don't alarm them at all. They'll be reaching for pillows and pacifiers and running into a closet with their psychologist. No, it's pathetic what we've become. We can't handle the truth. The truth is our planet is going through a free fall, and nothing any human being can do is going to stop at least four of the tipping points. They won't tell you that. I will. I prove it. I'm a scientist. I'm an ecologist, an environmentalist, and I've proven that, and you'll see it in the film and the scientific papers we're publishing when the film is released in about 4 weeks now. They've known this. These are bright people. They could have figured that out. Nobody wants to make anyone feel uncomfortable about anything. And so every day you go about your work and your life thinking, it's okay. Everything's all right. It's not. Nothing's all right. Everything is in free fall. People's health, our debt, the fact that we're going to go off the dollar worldwide shortly when China exceeds us. And think of all the people who have all their assets and the equities and real estate pegged to the dollar. Whoa, are you going to take a bath? Think of the people living near the ocean who are not going to move. I'm not going to move. This is my home. Tucker Carlson last night, in absolute mocking buffoonery, which he's more than capable of, talked about and joked about, oh, people living near the ocean. And he had this clown on there. Wow. Total denial of the effects of global warming and environmental degradation. Didn't mention any of the things. What if I had brought on 1,000 farmers from Arkansas, Tucker, who had no income this year and had debt and are going to lose their farms because the water that you said is not related to global warming is, and every study proves that, and lost all their crops in Arkansas? and also look at Indiana. Look at the heat scorching California today, where 1,100 people's homes are at risk today, right as we speak, from fires. The Arctic's on fire, 2 million acres. Greenland's on fire. Siberia's on fire. And once you start a fire in peat, you can't put it out. It's not possible. And all that's the melting of the permafrost. There's a 200-mile ice-free zone around Alaska, first time in recorded history. And now the Arctic is getting rid of its ice because of global warming, and it's hot up there. The Arctic Circle had a 98-degree day, hottest in history, a recorded history. And also you have the lungs of the planet burning in the Amazon by an absolute homicidal maniac. Bolsonaro, the president, if you think Trump is bad, and he is, this guy is Trump on steroids. No intellect, no sensitivity, a complete sociopath, doesn't give a damn about anyone, wants to get rid of the indigenous people and open up the Amazon for pure commercial exploitation. So where is the world protesting this? Where are they stopping all trade? Where are their indictments by the International Criminal Court against crimes against humanity? Because when you destroy the environment that is the lungs of the planet, there's only two great rainforests on the planet, and the Amazon's one, and they're destroying three soccer fields every 60 seconds. And the fires in the Amazon, which are clouding out the skies, that's human-made, burning it down so that people in other countries can have soybeans to feed their cattle. So we're not even pulling back far enough to look at the problem. If we stopped eating meat, then we wouldn't be buying the soybeans to feed the cattle. We would stop 18% of methane from the cattle and therefore would be able to save a lot of the global warming impact. But we're not doing any of that. The average person, including the professional class, the educated class, the political class, the warmongering class, which is all of Washington, D.C., they're just going ahead to eat all the meat they can, buy everything they can, and keep living bigger, because power means one thing. You can identify your power by how much you are able to grow it. So you grow, you have to have the biggest house, the biggest yacht, the biggest plane. You have to have something that identifies yourself as being beyond that which can be judged by normal standards. Wow. And we should be living just in reverse. Shrink our standard of living. Shrink our need for excessive accumulation. Bring it down to a level of quality of life with others and nature. That's how we work. We're not doing it. In any case, the people who are least capable of understanding the crisis we're in are the very people who have the most control over the causes of that crisis. Researchers discover that fasting reduces inflammation and improves chronic inflammatory disease. This is from Mount Sinai Hospital. Good study. And this was published in the peer-reviewed Cell. I believe I had one of my articles was published on the Egg Project, I believe, was published, I think. It's a long time ago. I've had so many articles published, I've hit almost 900. So I'm going to look that up afterwards. Anyhow, it shows that fasting reduces inflammation and improves chronic inflammatory conditions. Well, that supercharges your immune system, especially if you had acute infections. So if you want to fight off infections and chronic inflammation, there's your asthma, there's your chronic pulmonary conditions, there's your diabetes, there's your cancer, multiple sclerosis, inflammatory bowel disease, ileitis, colitis, spastic colon, all that's from inflammation. So fasting. And by the way, the people in the study, you're going to be fasting 15 hours every day. Yeah. 5 in the evening till 9 in the morning. And that's one way that we can slow down and reverse the aging process. You won't be hungry, though. You're going to be consuming a lot of juice. Whoa. More than you've ever consumed in your life. And every single juice will be based upon 5 peer-reviewed literature articles for every ingredient in every juice. So you'll know why something was selected. From Exeter University in the United Kingdom, a study says that BPA is causing severe hormone imbalance in 80% of teens. That means all that plastic and it means microwaving stuff. That's releasing biphenyl A, which is more commonly known as PBA. That's the chemical often used in making plastic, and it can be found in all kinds of products in our food supply. Here's the problem with it. It mimics the sex hormone estrogen. And what you don't want a dominance of estrogen because that leads to breast cancer, prostate cancer, and also uterine cancer. Also, if you're overweight, you get a dominance. And if you eat meat, you get a dominance. So what if you're overweight, you eat meat, which a lot do, and then you have excess BPA in your system, you're a candidate for cancer. Also, a low grip strength, meaning when you're trying to grip something and you don't have a strong grip on it, that is linked to impaired cognition, memory loss as you age. This is from the University of Michigan in an article, and they looked at 14,000 participants and in the health and retirement study who were 50 and older, and they followed them for 8 years. And they found that if you are not strong, you're going to lose cognition. So, and this was published in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease, which means that you've got to keep exercising, ideally twice a day, with resistance exercise and anaerobic exercise. And University of Sydney found that a fatty acid was effective for knee osteoarthritis. That's good. That's terrific news. And taking the stairs can help balance hormones and lower your blood pressure, according to North American Menopause Society. Just climbing stairs instead of taking the elevator. That strengthens your lower back. It strengthens your quads, your hamstrings, your calves, and your lungs. So it gives you greater balance when you're walking upstairs. This was a 12-week research period, found that women had lowered their blood pressure significantly and increased their leg strength, both of which are important. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break. We're 25 minutes into our program. Come back. And when we come back, I'm going to share two commentaries back to back. Then I'm going to play a little clip, 2.5-minute clip. And then I'm going to ask, based upon what this person says, you can agree or disagree with him. Take an honest look at society today and ask, how far down the rabbit hole have we gone? And look at all the people running for president and look at the things they're not talking about, not willing to commit to, that could fundamentally change our lives and the lives for the average person, especially those who are working middle class and the poor. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. As many of you would know, if you go to our website, and I was told by Jesse that I'm not sure the exact metrics, but we were approaching 100 million. Whoa. So a lot of people go to PRN.fm because they know that we select the stories from around the world. Plus, I select the ones, wonderful animal stories, things that touch our heart and put a smile on our face and remind us of what we're capable of being at our best. Plus, we put more up on the environment than any other site. And because I want you to know what's going on. I want you to know the truth, because I believe this audience can handle the truth. The average American may not be able to handle it, especially if it seems overwhelming. But we've allowed it to get out of control until it is overwhelming. America today, in its body politics and its corporatization and its urban and the ghettoization of its urban areas, plus its gentrification of urban areas. So you can almost seem dualistic. You say Baltimore is a beautiful town, second largest, highest income for African Americans in America, and one district. Absolutely correct, because it was gentrified. Now go one block away from that, and for the next 200 blocks, you've got a ghetto. So if you're going to do something to help one area, help everyone. And if we cared about it, we wouldn't let developers do any of that, or private contractors. But it's all about the profit. So we have created a scenario where we have both the high earners who are the focus and they can do anything they want, and we have everyone else who is struggling. So when you say we have a good economy for the rich, we do. What about the percentage of Americans who can't take a vacation? In fact, right here I have it. This is from Bloomberg, Luke McGrath. Quote, Americans say they can't afford a vacation. More than 40% of Americans, wow, that's over 160 million Americans, have opted out of a getaway over the past year specifically because of the cost. They just can't afford to go anywhere. And they're steeped in debt. Why isn't that story being told? And it's not. So we're going to have to focus some attention on all these stories and get it out there, what the causes are for the problem and what the solutions are. But one of the problems we have is where we get our information. Who do we believe? And unfortunately, more and more people get their information from Wikipedia than any other source in America, about 400 million per month. So the question is it really a quality place to get your information? Our research, in-depth research, shows it is not. Why? This is just one example. This is an article. It's called Wikipedia, where narcissists and sociopaths are always welcome. In looking up information on alternative health issues, using a legitimate, highly respected encyclopedia such as Encyclopedia Britannica, we find a fair and balanced and scholarly review of the available literature on topics like traditional Chinese medicine and homeopathy and acupuncture, etc. And Encyclopedia Britannica and any of the other six comparable encyclopedias, they name the editors. They provide curricula vitae, meaning their resumes, demonstrating their expertise and their scholarship and their authority in a given area that they're editing. There's no debasement. There are no attacks. No sense that a person reading an entry should feel mentally incompetent for choosing a particular piece of information. Also, at no point in these highly revered encyclopedias is there character assassination or ridicule or mocking or disparagement of people supporting any of the alternative and complementary approaches. The process is transparent, instructive, and a benefit, but not on Wikipedia. So let's compare Britannica to an experience on Wikipedia, which calls itself an encyclopedia, but fails miserably even the most rudimentary challenges. First, most of the editors are anonymous. Well, that's a red flag. So there's no curriculum vitae to see if they have any expertise in the area they're editing. Also, words like charlatan, quack, lunatic, fringe, and pseudoscience are not uncommon. There is zero transparency. One feels an oozing sense of condescension viewing the biographies of biologists such as Rupert Sheldrake, or the physician Deepak Chopra, or the investigative work of Cheryl Atkinson. And these are just a few of the many, many individuals who are held in utter contempt, who have been judged as being of no legitimate value, and even worse, they have been condemned as quack, charlatans, opportunists without ever having been interviewed, as if in a Stalinistic show trial, condemned without an opportunity to respond to the allegations. What type of person would attack an individual whose contributions to society have positively impacted the lives of so many? Are they online trolls, perhaps? Well, it's not that difficult to figure out. According to a study conducted by psychtest.com, insensitivity to is a common trait of the online trolls. Insensitive people are more likely to have an underdeveloped social skill set as well as emotional IQs that are on the downside and have real self-control issues. Perhaps surprisingly, 38% of those insensitive people admitted that they themselves are sensitive to remarks of others and they're easily offended. So they can insult people, but they don't like being insulted. They can destroy other people's reputation, but they don't want anyone looking at their reputation. And with respect to self-control, the study indicates 43% of insensitive people take their frustrations out on other people. Being insensitive and having underdeveloped social skills and emotional IQ and self-control issues and taking their frustrations out on others is only the beginning of the inquiry. In an article published in Psychology Today entitled Internet Trolls Are Narcissists, Psychopaths, and Satanists, in quote, Jennifer Goldbeck, PhD, writes, quote, trolls will lie, exaggerate, and offend to get a response, end quote. Similarly, in a study conducted by researchers at the School of Health Sciences and Psychology at the Federation University of Mount Helens, trolls scored higher than average on two traits, psychopathy and cognitive empathy. The researchers suggested even though trolls, quote, exhibit one kind of empathy, coupling it with psychopathy tendencies ultimately makes them very nasty, end quote. They also found that trolls were likely to be high in sadism and were more likely to be male. Quote, narcissists don't really love themselves, end quote, writes Dr. Darlene Lancer, a therapist. Quote, actually, they're driven by shame. It's the idealized image of themselves, which they convince themselves they embody, that they admire. But deep down, narcissists feel the gap between the facade they show the world and their shame-based self. They work hard to avoid feeling that shame, end quote. Wow. Why don't they take a look at our last six presidents? According to Lancer, people with narcissistic personality disorder lack empathy and need administration from others. They are self-important, dream of power, believe they should only associate with high-status people or institutions, and they have an attitude of arrogance. Davos? Yeah. Council on Foreign Relations? Absolutely. Bilderberg? Couldn't do better. And gee whiz, U.S. Congress? Spot on. House of Representatives? Spot on, minus one. President of the United States? Super king narcissist. So, whether they're trolls or cyberbullies or both, there's no denying that some of the anonymous editors on the alternative and complementary medicine pages on Wikipedia are engaging in the character assassination of individuals connected with alternative and complementary medicine. Character assassination is a practice in which a deliberate and sustained effort is made to damage the reputation or credibility of an individual. Social groups or institutions can also be the target. A man named Martin Eichs of the University of Amsterdam and Eric Shivra of George Mason University introduced a classification of seven characters assassination methods, which they defined as anonymous lies, misquoting, silencing, acts of vandalism, name-calling, mental illness, and sexual deviance. The authors identified the website of Wikipedia as a common context for, quote, anonymous lies, end quote. Our investigations, many, over 2 years, have shown that misquoting and silencing are also quite prevalent. And whether they are narcissists or sociopaths, they can be no doubt that they are abusive. As Lancer tells us, quote, abuse is abuse, no matter the abuser's diagnosis. People with other mental illnesses, such as antisocial personality disorder, which is sociopathy, are also abusive. And character assassination is abuse. Now, science is not on their side. We, on our side, on your side, and on the 100,000 clinicians using some form of complementary holistic approaches, we have 100,000 studies in journals that prove alternative and complementary medicine and diet and supplements, etc., works, and these are all on scientific and clinical levels. Billions of patient visits in China and India, United States, show that alternative and complementary medicine works on the patient level. The lifetime commitment of 100,000 physicians and clinicians helping people cannot be denied. And yet, a tiny group of abusive people have shown that Wikipedia has a serious psychological problem. How is it that anonymous editors with no expertise, without any real debate or discussion, and refusing to examine all of the evidence that would disprove their points are in a position to judge people who have contributions to society that have positively impacted the lives of so many. How are they in a position to destroy reputations and intimidate readers from a cloistered, emotionally dark place? Like spitting cobras, all they can do is strike and reload their venom. Strike and reload. And what have they done? Those of us who are public figures, where everything we write and say is there for the public to review and make their own decisions of, we're not hiding. Our accomplishments are self-evident. What are their accomplishments? What have all of these skeptics done that could even compare to what Rupert Sheldrake as an individual has done, or Deepak Chopra? They can't. And so we have to ask, what have the anonymous editors on the alternative and complementary medicine pages on Wikipedia contributed to society? Show us your contributions. You're talking about science and health and healing. How many people have you healed? Let me see. Show them to me. Let me hear their voices. Let me hear their conditions before and after. And then tell us how you did it. We'd like to know. Oh, sorry. You have no people that you've healed. I didn't know that. Could you be jealous of the people? There's a lot of people. I've seen it at BAI. I've seen it at Pacifica. I've seen it throughout my career where people are offended by someone else's success. How dare they be successful and be enjoyed by the public? Well, why don't you do more for yourself? Be more creative, more original, more spiritual. Maybe someone one day will actually like you. But then you're spiteful, arrogant, angry, conceited, narcissistic. Maybe you should have a little more fiber in your diet to clean up your personality, but I don't think they will. The fact is that no more anonymous trolls with psychological problems abusing accomplished professionals and professions and their patients without consequences, intimidating the many people who support and rely upon these accomplished professionals, or those who would have sought support from these professionals if they hadn't been made to feel mentally incompetent just for looking at the entries on, let's say, acupuncture, alternative cancer therapies. I say no more. I say it's time to take away the power they have been given and get them the help, psychological help, that they need for their insensitivity, their underdeveloped social skills, their emotional IQ problems, their self-control issues, their frustration, their shame, and their arrogance. You may argue, well, Gary, the last thing someone who is that far gone wants is someone explaining to them that maybe their problems in life with other people is that they haven't achieved anything on their own, have low self-esteem, and are just projecting what they hate about themselves against other people. And you might be right. But in any case, these are people, in my opinion, that need help. They need serious help. Now, I'm not going to suggest Thorazine. I'm not going to suggest Prozac, Paxil. I'm not going to suggest anything that I know wouldn't really help them. But humanistic psychotherapy, seeking out counselors who can understand when a person is not living through a balanced spiritual perspective, they're going to be acting out. And in the moment they're doing it, they'll never appreciate the negative consequences. And perhaps when they receive that help, if they do, they too will look back at Rupert Sheldrake or Deepak Chopra or Cheryl Atkinson and recognize what it means to make a real positive contribution to society. Share that with as many people as you can. Oh, and by the way, our final class on diabetes in this 4-week clinical study that we're doing on behavior and lifestyle modification ends this Sunday. And we're getting major progress, and I'll share that with you next week. But one of the attendants came in and said, Gary, I want to show you this. So he gave me this New York University Langone Hospital bill. I said, what's this for? He said, well, I had a stomach ache, severe stomach ache. Okay. What'd they do? Well, I went in and they gave me a pack of ice and they gave me a saline solution because they said I was a little dehydrated and they wanted this pack of ice. They did a couple chest x-rays, et cetera, just to see if there was anything there. And that's all. Nothing. No drugs, no treatment, nothing. A pack of ice on the belly. He said, yes. So I'm looking here for that $1 bag of IV therapy. They charged him $2,021. For his visit to the emergency room to get a pack of ice, $5,904. They gave him an EKG, $486. All told, $10,841. I have the bill in my hand. Shame on New York University Langone Hospital that you would do this to a human being who came in there with a stomach ache. You gave no treatment. You gave a bag of ice and a saline solution, and you charged him $10,841.78. That is despicable. So that, but it is what it is, and that's not uncommon. A guy with a snake bite was charged $154,000. That's why we need universal health care, with the exclusion that if you want your private insurance, good for you. Make your own private deal. If you're a union that has all your members in it, you've got good rates and you get good treatment, keep it. But for, let's say, 80% of the American population, universal health care, and we wouldn't have that. You'd be able to go to a hospital, be treated properly, and you get no bill. And it would be, you'd be saving $1.7 trillion a year. I've done the math. The article's up on my website. So here's what we're going to do now. I'm going to play this little clip, and then I want you to call in if you have something you'd like to share. What you think of the clip is up to you. This is Piers Morgan on Populism is Rising Because of Liberals. Here's what he has to say.
Populism is rising because liberals have become unbearable. And I speak as a liberal, okay? In my core, I'm probably more liberal than not. Although, fundamentally, I see myself as a journalist and I'd like to see both sides of all these things. And I can argue both. But liberals have become utterly, pathetically illiberal. And it's a massive problem. What's the point of calling yourself a liberal if you don't allow anyone else to have a different view? You know, this snowflake culture that we now operate in, the victimhood culture, the, you know, everyone is has to think a certain way, behave a certain way. Everyone has to, you know, have a bleeding heart and tell you 20 things that are wrong with them. And, you know, I just think it's all completely skewed to an environment where everyone's offended by everything. And no one's allowed to say a joke. If you said a joke 10 years ago that offended somebody, you can never host the Oscars, you know? So now there's no host for anything. The Emmys now just said they're not going to have a host either. So hosts have gone. And soon every award winner will go because everyone's a human and they're all flawed. So no one can win awards anymore because there will be no platform before they even get on the podium. So then no hosts, no stars. Then no one can make any movies because we're all flawed. So no actors, right? So suddenly, where are we? The liberals get what they want, which is a humorless void where nothing happens, where no one dare do anything or laugh about anything, or behave in any way that doesn't suit their rigid way of leading a life. No thanks. So what's happening around the world? Populism is rising because people are fed up with the PC culture. They're fed up with snowflakery. They're fed up with everyone being offended by everything. And they're gravitating to forceful personalities who go, this is all nonsense. Which, by the way,
So those are his points of view. You could agree or disagree. But take an honest look at our society today and look at what happens if a comedian says something that is someone is offended by, that a professor says something completely legitimate and accurate and honest in just a regular way, and suddenly someone says, I'm offended by that. And people saying that your words threaten my whole life. And you think, whoa, and you're going to go from this college and university into the real world? And you're concerned that something that is being said constructively to help you think more critically and deeply is offensive, and you feel your life is threatened. What kind of bubble did you grow up with? What kind? Sue your helicopter parents or your bulldozer parents, because, man, they did you no favor. But the world's going to do you less of a favor when you have that wake-up call. So just imagine what it is. Today we wouldn't be able to have Lenny Bruce or Don Rickles or George Carlin or Dick Gregory. Mort Saul, so many people who could make us laugh at our absurdities and mocked our absurdities in ways that we would just, if you've ever been to a George Carlin lecture, you're listening to one of the best psychologists, sociologists of all times without the degrees, but he used humor and we responded. And now, no, everyone's afraid. Everyone's afraid to say anything because the PC cops are everywhere, and especially in the media, and that's unfortunate. And you realize what this gets. You beget what you create. So if you make it impossible for people to express themselves, you don't care about their point of view, you want to shout them down, you want to denigrate them, you want to use the media to destroy people, then you're going to see the emergence of someone like a Trump or someone like him. And who is no better? Hillary Clinton and Trump are the same. They just have a different type of way of offending people. But then that's what you're going to get. You're going to get hyper-dynamic people who are more often than not sociopathic because the average person is fed up. And everywhere I go in America, people are fed up. So your thoughts, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. I'd like to see what you think. I'd like to hear your perspective. And while you're thinking about what you'd like to share and call in with that, I have this from physiology.organic. The Gulf Stream is slowing down. That could mean rising seas in a hotter Florida. And it says, the Gulf Stream, the warm current, by the way, that brings the east coast of Florida the mixed blessings of abundant swordfish, and they talk about mild winters and stronger hurricanes, may be weakening because of climate change. Visible from the air is a ribbon of cobalt blue water. A few miles off the coast, the Gulf Stream forms part of a clockwork system of currents that transports warm water from the tropics up to the east coast and across the Atlantic to northwestern Europe in the frigid clime near Greenland. And the water cools, sinks, and flows south again, rolling through the deep ocean towards the tropics. And this marine circulatory system has reached its weakest point in 1,600 years. Wow. And what that means is that that's going just to cause greater hurricanes and rising sea levels. And Greenland is melting so rapidly that that we're going to end up releasing a lot of water. And that's going to be impacting the east coast of the United States from one end to the other. And the warmer the water, the greater problems you're going to have with hurricane and water bombs. You're going to have so much water evaporating in humidity up into the air, and then that creates this enormous beat down that comes when we have these water bombs, strong storms. And so also algae, now we know that algae is a green product. It's all over the world. But this is from The Guardian. Algae could be a way for vegans and vegetarians to get the right kinds of omega-3 fatty acids in their diets. Quote, the next time someone asks you where you get your protein, the answer could be green stuff. While vegans and vegetarians steer clear of fish and shellfish, there's another kind of seafood we need to talk about, and it could be the solution to a lot of problems. Algae, that green slimy stuff you probably cringe at when you see it in a body of water, is being looked at by nutritionists and entrepreneurs in the food space as a potential godsend that's been more or less untapped until lately. So that's good that they've recognized this. But in point of fact, in 1972, Dick Gregory already had written an article. Dick was a good friend for 40 years till he died. And he was probably the first person out there talking about the virtues of green stuff within the African-American community, the algae. And so they're 45 years behind, but I'm glad they're catching up, and I'm glad that Arnold Schwarzenegger has become a vegan. I didn't like what he represented when he was governor, but he's changed, and good for him. And James Cameron, who produced and directed the Titanic and Avatar and a whole host of very popular films. He now is not only a vegan along with his wife, but they all opened up a vegan school, and that's good, and he's doing a lot of research. So yeah, now imagine this. You have algae all around Africa. You also have algae growing in some of the Lake Victoria and some of the Great Lakes in Africa. Why not harvest that, dry it, and then process it? You do a 5-day bacterial analysis of it, and as long as it doesn't have toxic bacteria, you could then put that into bags and sealed bags and give it to the poor people as a high quality source of protein. That's got all the amino acids. It would be dirt cheap, and it's far more beneficial than any other protein they could eat. There's no legume or bean that comes close to let's say, spirulina or chlorella as far as amino acids. They're the best. They're the top of the chart. I did all that research at the Institute of Applied Biology on measuring amino acid composition in all foods, and that was right at the top. So that's one way to help the people who are starving in Africa and who don't have arable land, and that's what we should be giving them, not sending them from Salt Lake City in the caves there where the non-fat dry milk has been stored, because, A, that non-fat dry milk could hurt them, because a lot of them are lactose intolerant. So if someone is, a mother is making a formula out of non-fat dry milk, her baby could end up with infections and die, and that happens. But with spirulina, you'd be getting a full spectrum of nutrients, and that would be a good thing. So I'm glad they're catching up. That's good. And that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank you all for listening. And by the way, anyone still wants to call Luann to see if you can be put on a waiting list for this special study, anti-aging study, which is going to commence the first day of October, you can call her at 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. Have a nice day, everyone.